All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Local, welcome to Chicago's world-famous Shedd Aquarium.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. It's much bigger than a shed. I don't understand. This is not a building that's in the back of a yard.
Well, the sheds are underwater.
Oh, okay.
It's just a bunch of big tanks with sheds floating in them.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
Named after John Shedd, the inventor of the shed.
he just thought, oh, what if there was a small bad room where tools go?
Yeah. I'll call it the Butterfield. So we're here because they have made quite a miraculous catch here in Lake Michigan. They found the shark that killed and ate all those surfers.
What?
Yeah, he's been brought to justice.
It's really
executed under aquarium law.
It's really weird that they found him in Lake Michigan, given that that's a freshwater lake.
Yeah, he's a freshwater shark.
Oh, God, no. Please do not posit the existence of freshwater sharks, Gary.
And river sharks. And bathtub sharks. And toilet sharks.
And nurse sharks.
And, yep. Oh. And bottle
you
sharks.
You won't feel a thing.
Yep.
Exactly. Shit.
So I got us two tickets to the dissection.
Okay.
He's been executed for his crimes.
Cool. Are we just trying to find all the remains of the surfers to give to the loved ones?
I mean, I don't care what they do with their remains. No, they own them. Finders keepers, man.
Yeah.
Finders keepers, widows weepers. You know what they say?
Yeah.
I just figured they might pull some interesting stuff out of there, and it might suggest a game.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So there's a diploma. There's plans for a family portrait.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
There's an unfinished draft of a novel.
Yeah.
A lot of hopes and dreams on these surfers.
Whew.
You know?
Yeah, really bright futures cut short.
Yeah, there's some shades. The future is extremely bright.
Hmm.
Look at this surfer dude. Yo, did you ever on YouTube, watch the retro dude?
No.
He's a retro game surfer. He disappeared from YouTube, and here he is, moldering.
Yeah, he's all add up.
Yeah, he's been moldering. Looks like he's got a game in his hand. A surfer game.
Boy, I'm ready to do a lot of surfing in a video game. I hope that this is going to...
Well, what if you're not interested in the sport of surfing?
Okay.
You're just interested in the culture of surfing.
Then I imagine a game like Totally Rad would be what I would play.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's what that is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel neutral about this. I think Will is a big fan of this.
Oh.
Anywho, this is Gary Butterfield.
This is Cole Ross.
And this is Abject Suffering, where we eat our video game vegetables before we enjoy our tangential dessert.
Cool.
Which is a catchphrase provided by Sid Menon.
Thank you, Sid. Video veggies.
Video veggies.
That implies that the things that we need to, like, calling these vegetables implies that there is any value to them to us. You eat the vegetables because it's good for you, you know.
Yeah,
it is delayed gratification.
Yeah, huh. For you. I stopped myself from saying something. I know that doesn't happen very often. I just want to point out that I was just about to say something and stopped. So I just I'm tired. I don't feel really good. We're like 24 hours out from Duck Stream. I'm just really reaching for humor nuggets, man.
Yeah. No.
It's just like my brain came up with that. I'm like, got my brain. I'm grabbing it by the lapels and I'm pushing it up into the corner.
Yeah.
Like, gimme.
Where's Paul Cody? Try that. Try saying this awful stuff.
I was like, okay, I'll wait a minute.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say that out loud.
It's kind of like when I was really tired and I was at my mom's, and instead of saying the car wash, I said the driver's laundry.
I love the driver's laundry.
Yeah.
Use that thing to make food. So, and it's, I've said worse things too. I just,
No, it's just, you just decided. And then now everybody's, well, you know.
History. So totally rad.
Totally rad. This was suggested under a different name. I went to the suggestion database for this one. Sam Bear suggested it under its Japanese name, Magic John.
Yeah. which is probably, you know, kind of funnier, like the surfer lingo part, the biggest part of this, the surfer lingo part of it, which is the thing it's most known for, is an American creation.
Yes.
It's weirder, but it was already weird.
Right.
Because mostly because of the magician, Zebediah Pong.
Yes.
I find Zebediah Pong really troubling.
Zebediah Pong is definitely an avatar of Nyarlathotep.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Like the biggest Nyarlathotep energy we've had on this show.
Even more than the nightmare.
Even way more than the nightmare. This is the totally rad story of a most unprecedented regular dude, a very righteous babe, and a gnarly old magician who used to live in the most bodacious spread inside the San Andreas Fault. That's already, like, horrifying.
Yeah.
Runaways, season three. Like, it is very, very scary. Zebediah Pong, and he's not the same species.
No.
As the other, he is like, it'd be like if you walked into a pizza kitchen, there's like a guy making your pizza, and then the guy from the box, the chef from the pizza box, walked in from the other room.
Photorealistically next to him, like realistic like Bart.
Like a Keter class, like, you know, disaster. Like you just run screaming and then wake up, hopefully. He's like that. Zebediah Pong is not okay.
Yeah, no, it's not okay. And it's, I mean, and it's just the result of the localization, I believe, right? Because they've got regular, you know, like your main character in the close-up and the cinematics just kind of looks like, you know, bargain bin Keanu Reeves, right?
Yeah,
It looks like a dude, but then you've got, again, the pizza box magician.
Pizza box magician who, like the manual for this, which is all written in character.
Right.
Which is where I learned that he lived in a bodacious spread inside a vault.
A bodacious, like that, that's not even the right, like a spread is like a big table full, like full of food.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Like, like a lot of bagels that they bring you at work one day is a bodacious spread.
Yeah. Like if the crudité has both blue cheese dip and ranch dip.
Check this out.
Okay.
The two meet this gnarly old magician named Zebediah, who actually happens to be this creature-person exiled from the underground world. Only there's no way you're supposed to know that, okay? Anyway, Zebediah's magic is not your usually totally bogus prestidigitation that only a total bonehead would believe was real. No way. I mean, when's the last time a magician that your mom hired for your little sister's birthday party turned himself into an eagle or conjured up a totally major windstorm or stopped time? Like,
well, Zebediah I can't tell you when the last time was.
Yeah, Zebediah, like, you don't have to keep selling me on Zebediah Pong.
Yeah.
I'm scared.
Do not tell me
relax, if Daniel. I'm already scared.
But like, but just like the opening cinematic of this, the series of yeses that they expect to drag you along. It's the surfer dude talking to his girlfriend. It's Jake talking to Allison, and they're both, you know, doing total like valley talk. And just like, oh, I'm gonna go see this magician, gnarly dude. Or yeah, it's like I just got a screenshot of this. You just got Jake saying, "Yep, he thinks I have gnarly potential."
Like gnarly potential, because you get to go become the apprentice,
right,
of Zebediah Pong, you know, which is definitely like a monkey's curl, a monkey paw curl. Like you've done that, and then now, like, well, I really wanted power,
right?
But now I have it. Oh, you know, that's not good.
Nope, you're gonna turn into one of him.
Yeah, do not want it.
No. And then like just things happen kind of a media res, like you go and he teaches you a couple of things, but then just out of nowhere, oh, somebody stole my girlfriend, and you have to go like rescue her.
Yeah, you get surprise attacked, and then I was like, immediately you're in a techno future world with like Ferris wheel mountains in the background.
Yes.
And I had a real like, where are we, what is this? You know, like I thought we were in California.
I'm very confused.
Yeah. You are not in California.
No, you are localized. you are in a poorly localized space.
Yes.
Yeah. And you're doing some real basic, just, you know, just like it's weird to even call it platforming. Like you're not really jumping from the thing to thing. You're just kind of running along various surfaces, shooting enemies as they come in. I want to preserve this run cycle in amber. and fling it forward into the future, because the run cycle on this dude is one of the most over animated things, and I'm here for it.
It makes it look like you're moving too slow.
Yes.
Like you're just running in place.
Yeah. It's all the time. It's a full body run that he is doing. Yeah.
Speaking of full body run.
Okay. The
manual continues. little did Jake and Allison know that they'd become the pubescent pawns of the pestilent power politics of Idogi, the malfeasant underground menace. Pubescent pawns? Come on, Nintendo.
You can't let that happen.
Yeah, pubescent is not like a everyday adjective.
No.
You know? Like pubescent, you bring out.
Yeah.
It's like good china.
It's behind glass.
Yeah. So the pubescent pawns, and I don't need to be like, listen, I'd assume that these kids had pubic hair. I just knew. Like my pubes are went off. Like I was like, I knew.
Yeah, no, but it's just like when you're out in the world and you look at somebody and you think, yeah, they got pubes.
Yeah. Like, yeah, you just know.
Yeah.
Like, and you can also do the handshake. But because it's a game, I just kind of assumed like, oh, these guys got pubes. But Right. Now that it's textual, I don't like it as much.
No. I mean, because they're there, it's just the resolution's too low to really call attention to it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, what were they like?
Yeah.
You know, like, I like the idea of the mystery. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I bet you this guy's got pubes, you know, and he's got a big J, like, shaved in there. You know?
He's got the number 23.
Yeah. Like, what kind of the number 23? Oh, good God, it's everywhere. Going down.
I was doing. I was doing more like. I was doing more like he shaved Michael Jordan's basketball number into it, but.
I was thinking of the Jim Carrey vehicle.
Yeah, no, because you're a fucking nerd.
That could also be the number. Is it 23 or 27?
No, it's the number 23 in that in the Jim Carrey movie. But also, you're from Chicago. You lived there in 95.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, famous sports knower.
Cool,
Gary Butterfield.
I just want to stomp on you a little bit more for that. For jumping.
Like four podcasts ago, I said you had a stupid face. So like, we're still dealing with the cycle of revenge.
Yeah, no, we're still doing that. No, that's kind of like oh my God, IMing with somebody. It's like back in high school when you were just IM with strangers, because you know, mm-hmm. IMing was a thing weird. That you did. Yeah. But like, you know, just like somebody, I have no idea how I met this person, but we were IMing. I was like, oh, what are you doing? She was like, oh, I'm watching The Game. And I said, oh yeah, The Game, like that David Fincher movie. That's okay. And I like wrote a couple more things. Like, no, the Super Bowl is on.
No.
Okay. Yeah. No. All right. Gotcha. Wasn't aware there was a Super Bowl happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I typically am surprised by the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Yeah. Have you, I've quoted this manual a few times. Have you looked at the manual?
No. To the point where I thought that you were making it up. So.
No. Let me throw you a link here. Cause this could basically be the episode. Like, you know, we're at the end of this long recording. We have a busy weekend ahead of us. Mm-hmm. This game is a blessing because we get to decide how much work we want to do because we could just continuously read from the Totally Rad manual. It goes places, my friend.
This is a thing that used to be a thing, like the all in character manual. Like, mm-hmm. I think this it definitely happened for the sequel to Toe Jam and Earl.
Yeah. Well, and we've had those, like, you know, ones where it's like that has that transmedia property stink. It's like, this manual is because it's trying to sell me on a cartoon series. Uh-huh. This is not.
No.
This has a picture like, okay, dudes, this is a picture of my boss. He doesn't have anything to do with the game, you know. So what do you have to? And then just kind of continues. And there's just a picture of like a nerd.
Cool.
You know, it's really weird.
How big is this fucking manual? It's been loading for.
It's a 21 page manual.
Okay. All right.
Ask the righteous questions, get some righteous answers, dude. we know these tips could be totally bogus. We don't even know for sure. Who do I ask then?
Like, the manual's not the place for an unreliable narrator.
Excellent. I thought I lost this picture. I totally forgot. I stuck it in the manual. Very righteous babe, for sure. And there's a picture of like a woman who looks like, God, what is the name of the SNL super right wing, like 80s blonde woman?
Fuck, Victoria Jackson.
There's like a picture of like Victoria Jackson in here.
Cool.
controller functions. Everybody needs to know what buttons to push, dude, or the world as we know it will come to a complete standstill for sure.
For sure, totally righteous.
Fuck, man. There's just a lot going on in this manual.
God. Remember when just like that affect was just enough?
Yeah. This could be a joke.
Yeah.
Like Rad Dudes, dude. Like that was the whole thing with Rad Dudes. Ha 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 ha. Looks like she's going to detention. Ha ha. I wish she was in detention with me. Ha 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 ha. And then that would be a Rad Dudes card.
Right. Yep. Yeah. No, just the unnecessary laughs. Like were they literally just putting in, was that meant to be read as a Beavis and Butthead laugh?
No, I think that's just kind of the closest thing.
Right. That's, right.
Who knows what's in the hearts of a rad dude?
Yeah. No, you can't unlock the rad dude's mysteries. It's like their pubes. No. Rad pubes.
Yeah, unlock their pubes. I generally don't think my pubes are that rad. I'd like to pizzazz them a little bit.
They're more of a nuisance than anything.
Yeah. I don't care for them. Yeah, how much grooming you do on there, man?
That seems pretty personal. That seems pretty personal to me. Yeah, I know. I just shaved the number 23. No, I do enough. I do enough.
Yeah, enough.
Yeah.
I typically leave it alone.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't really like, I think that the way, and I think that the way that like a chubby man.
No,
looks with short or no pubic hair is obscene. Yeah. I think you have to have
pubes. Like when I'm naked, I already look enough like a big baby.
So. Yeah, I don't need a smaller baby. I don't need a quado. Like, I don't need a smaller gut.
Yeah.
It's just like a micro gut right above my ding dong. Yeah. Like I'd rather have a nest.
Yeah.
You know?
No, it's when I say enough, it's more just about why the fuck are we talking about this? There's no trimming involved.
Because I have my comedy brain.
Yeah.
Slammed up against the corner.
Okay.
And I'm just saying anything.
You know, it's about washing, you know, just
I'll let you lay down. If you give me a nugget to get through this half hour,
you just really need to make sure, you know, if you have that hair, you need to make sure that you are washing it, because mm-hmm. it's a matter of consideration. If you're expecting anybody else to be near that, you know, it's just it's locked away in a stinky cave all day, and you need to make sure that you're taking care of it.
Yeah, you don't want, like you want fewer like pockets.
Yes,
percenticules, you know, and you also have to brush it like a beautiful pony's mane.
Do you
once a day? Yeah.
Okay.
Like otherwise, it gets really tangled.
Huh?
You just like brush it out to get it straight, and it kind of parts over each side of your ding dong.
Yeah,
no, like one of the monkeys.
I was at the store today. I went to the store. And I was waiting, and I was the only person in line as the person in front of me. It's got so many old people. And an old lady got in line behind me. I was just standing there like, okay, like we don't have to acknowledge each other's presence. And she just says to me, looking at the back, "You have beautiful hair."
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, That's interesting.
And the only thing you can say to that is thank you.
Oh, thanks.
It's just a weird thing for an old lady in a Barnes & Noble to say to you as you're waiting to buy a gift card.
Yeah.
You know?
You got legs that don't quit.
It's like, and I just don't know, like, it felt like the wrong word for her to use, you know?
Yeah. I've told the story behind of Robbie Bachman, the kid in my gym class who was one of my first examples of toxic masculinity that I ever encountered, where I was walking home and he was there, and there was a cat on a doorway, and I was like, "That's a pretty cat." And he goes, "Don't say that." and he said it was gay to say that. And I was like, "Well, what am I supposed to say?" He goes, "Nice cat." So it was like, that's basically what you should have said to her.
No, it's nice hair. Got
beautiful hair. Nice hair.
And then of course, like, because I felt awkward because she was trying to engage me in conversation, but the only common point of reference that we had was my hair, it just a picture, pause, and then I turned around again and said, "Yeah, I didn't know it was red until I grew it out." And then pause, and then I was called up to the register.
Thank God. Saved by the bell.
Yeah. And it's like, God, just things that happen and you don't know where to file it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the other I was when you said like I know what to say, I thought you were gonna be like, yeah, I washed it, you know, or something like something like weirder.
Yeah,
you know, just like, oh yeah, I got it all over my body. Like it's super good.
Yeah, wait till you see my well maintained pubes.
You see my Prince Valiant? I got. I look like I'm Prince Valiant is giving me a piggyback ride when I walk around.
So that was a strange thing to have.
I had a science teacher in eighth grade named Mr. Breed, who was the first person who told me, he told the whole class to like everyone hated him. He's a real grump.
Okay.
But he mentioned that as you get older, your pubic hair straightens out. and he said like, you know, loses a material in it, and he's like, and that's how you can tell who's leaving their curlies on the toilet. And it was like the most popular he's ever been in his life.
Yeah,
like an entire class of eighth grade kids liked him for a little bit.
Yeah,
and then he went back to being a dick and nobody liked him. See, but everyone was way into this like cool, you know, boy detective shit you can do by picking up pubes by the toilet and be like, oh, I've narrowed the age range in 20 years.
He's walking around like Daniel Craig and Knives Out. Well, I do say we got somebody with some corkscrew going on.
Yeah,
here.
We got a corkscrew. So we're looking for a younger man. When they find the Cinderella that matches this slipper.
I had no idea that your pubic hair straightened out.
Yeah. As you get older, your pubic hair will become more and more straight.
Yeah.
Until eventually, you know, it just looks like Einstein.
Until eventually, it's just Hulk Hogan hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Prince Valiant's giving you a.
Yeah.
A piggyback ride.
Yeah. No.
Or chicken fight, not piggyback ride. His head is in your dick. Is the thing.
Right. Right. No. I gotcha. I gotcha.
So we know that the Totally Rad Kids have pubes. Yes. Do you think Pog has them? Or do you think he's like totally smooth?
I think Pog has kind of a Bayonetta situation going on. He has them, but it's his clothes are just made of his hair. So it's indistinguishable. Yeah.
Yeah. I imagine that's probably true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's a thing. Really, it's just a picture of an airplane. This manual, Gary.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot going on in it. Like I miss manuals.
Same.
And I miss when manuals will do this kind of shit. I think this is really obnoxious though.
Yes.
Read this part because it teaches you how to get a new life for sure. I feel like you need getting started. Skip this part and order a pizza or something instead, dudes, because this stuff is so simple. It's like telling you how to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Something that's kind of funny here. They've got a section, help Jalico invent new games you'll like. And it's literally just market research, like fill in these forms and answer these questions about games and then mail it into Jalico in Illinois.
And this is not in Surfer.
No.
Zone. Yeah.
We're totally out of ideas.
I think this was just in every Jalico.
Yes.
Game. Probably. What kind of games do you like to play on your Nintendo? Mm-hmm. So we got sports, arcade, action, adventure, role playing, driving, games based on movies, games based on cartoon characters, war games.
Huh. That's every kind of game. War game.
Yeah, we got all the genres. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't play this for very long because I was running out of time.
Yeah.
I got past the first boss.
Yeah, I got through the first boss. It got easier when I realized that you can heal yourself.
Stop time. Oh yeah.
Yeah, and also you can stop time. There's a little bit more complexity to this. Like you do, know spells. But you have to look in this fucking nightmare of a manual to understand what the icons mean, they do. Yeah. But that was the way that I managed to live long enough to get through. It's like, oh, yeah, you can kill yourself.
Yeah. The first boss is kind of like, you know, the gigantic guts monster thing from Mega Man 1.
Yeah. Yeah.
A little bit, he's got like a weak point on his stomach instead of an eye. There's a whole circus theme.
Yeah, in this game, which seems really hard to reconcile with the Surfer Bro stuff.
Yeah, it makes it because I think it's just magicians are also like are at the circus sometimes.
Maybe.
Which means I need to go to a circus as a magician liker.
But,
you know,
I don't know. Seems like the clown to magician ratio would be very unfavorable.
Yeah. What's a good CTM?
Unemployment line.
What do you think is an ideal CTM?
Unemployment line.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm gonna go see a magician next month.
Ooh, who are you gonna go see?
Lin Shim.
I asked that question like I would know who any famous magician is. I'm really sorry. I'm sorry I led you to believe that. I would care.
It's okay.
Keep going, I guess.
He's a guy.
Okay.
He's a magician. He's very good. I bought tickets. He's playing at the gigantic like arena, same place I saw Run the Jewels and Lord.
Okay.
In Portland, where the Trailblazers play.
Nice.
And I bought the tickets like 8 months ago.
Okay.
So I had that weird, it's like, oh, like next month I'm going to like three concerts.
I have an obligation. Fuck.
It does feel a little bit like that.
I've got some plans I'll want to abandon.
Exactly. I'll have it the day of. I'll be like, I could just not do this.
Yeah.
I'm watching a long play of this.
Okay.
Two details about Zebediah Pong.
Okay.
He doesn't open his mouth when he speaks. He just moves his lips, but his teeth are like behind them the entire time. Like,
I don't think you can. And then
he's got gigantic, beautiful eyelashes.
He does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, he's really scary. Do you not like him?
No.
There's a script for this on GameFAQs.
There is a good amount. It's totally Tranquil Allison. All's excellent that ends excellent. He says the end.
I think we might read some of this during DuckStream.
Yes.
Because finding game scripts is difficult. I found a website I'm going to investigate to see if it's good enough for DuckStream.
Okay.
Where people have made movie scripts out of video games.
That sounds fucking awful, Gary.
Amateur screenwriting, I guess.
Yeah. No.
You know, just using stuff from cutscenes, but then like, you know, writing little scripts for the action parts in between. And it's all like stuff like Modern Warfare 4 and shit. It's not, you know, old games or classics or JRPGs. It's like a lot of like Assassin's Creed 3.
Stuff that was already cinematic. So,
yeah.
Jesus, man.
No good.
Yeah, I could. Well,
yeah.
For so sure.
Look forward to that. Sure.
For sure. Yeah. So there is a game script here. Yeah, both of these scripts have a little bit of stank on them, just in terms of like totally rad. A walkthrough? Well, yes. Whoops, I about walked into a pretty hard R there. Ableist term just gonna put
yeah, the most hard R dialogue.
Yeah.
Albeit funny as all hell.
Yeah.
It's neither.
No. Put on your leather vest and high top sneakers and get ready for some poning.
Yeah. Well, allow me to enlighten you.
Kenpo Coyote? No, I don't
care. Kenpo Coyote's not great.
I don't care for this. What else have you done?
Yeah.
I just standing in judgment. Like,
I don't like him. He also didn't finish this.
Sum up your crimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Final Fantasy Tactics guide. It's possible I've read this before.
Magic User's Challenge Guide. Oh,
no, I haven't read it. So you think you're good? You beat in the game? Not bad. You beat in the game without calculators? Well, that's good. Here's a challenge that I think you'll find challenging and fun. Yeah, I skipped this.
Yeah.
Even though I like the idea of Final Fantasy Tactics challenge runs.
Yeah, no, they're very
good. I don't like the idea of Kenpo.
No, I'm not going to take his dance instructions.
Yeah.
Is the thing.
But he's only done three. Shining Force, Final Fantasy Tactics, and Totally Rad.
Huh.
That's weird.
Yeah.
He likes challenge runs and tactics games and using the R slur about dialogue.
Yeah.
That's his thing.
That is his thing. We've got a King Broccoli review over on GameFAQs as well. Totally Rad is a quote, gnarly little platformer. It's just a bunch of stuff like that. It's not even a good King Broccoli review.
Yep. The title bad premise plus bad name equals bad game.
And I don't know that this game is bad.
I don't know if it's a bad name either.
Yeah. Like if you just ignore the dialogue, this is just kind of a boring platformer.
Yeah. Like a C plus B minus tier NES.
Yeah.
Like not Shatterhand platformer.
Yeah. Which is weird because Shatterhand is in the sidebar of like recommended.
Oh yeah.
Well, along with like ASDMX. Kind of like, yeah.
Yeah. Any platformer that isn't. Did you go to the Wikipedia where like every once in a while you find a very strangely formatted Wikipedia?
Yes.
The gameplay section for this is just three bullet points.
Yep.
are you new?
Yeah. Have you been here?
Boss fights ranging in complexity, special summoning abilities, side scrolling platform game.
Can I just tag this with lurk more?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. You need to lurk more, my friend.
Yeah. Whoa, dude, totally sad. Yeah, people are like unduly harsh to this game, I think.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah,
it is fine.
Yeah.
The manual is dumb and embarrassing.
Yes.
The script is dumb.
Yes.
I did not get a whole lot of this. I think this is, I don't want to mischaracterize him. I feel like this might be one that Will is into. I think he might have done this for his like screenshot GIFs.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I think he did totally rad for one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. He loves Mega Man. This mm-hmm. has like a little bit of Mega Man energy to it.
Yeah, I could see that. No, I was not offended by this game. This was just one that I just stopped because I felt like I understood it.
Yeah. 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 In general, like the whole idea of the surfer culture has died.
Yes.
Which I appreciate.
Yep.
Yeah, because I don't want it to exist, then I don't like it.
Again, it's just, you know, just not enough.
Because it inconveniences me.
Yes. It replaces better things.
Yeah. Like if you weren't a surfer, perhaps you'd be a cancer curer.
Yeah.
You know?
Maybe instead of looking for sick foam.
Yeah. Instead of ripping gnarly curls, you can rip the gnarly gender wage gap. Consider that.
Ripping gnarly curls. That just doubled back on the
pubes
thing for
gnarly streaks. Yeah. You got rolls out there. The straight haired pubic boomers.
I just like the idea of like measuring how close you are to death by how curly. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, instead of going and getting your palms ready, get your pubes ripped.
Or just that, you're not even palms ready, just go to a doctor. Like, okay, we'll pull them down. Like the Dr. Wareheim sketches. I'm imagining, you know, well, it's also, there's that old wives' tale about how your pubes keep growing after you die. Yeah.
were you intentionally doing a bit with that?
Yeah, yeah, I was malpractice.
Okay, it's like the idea of even like only specific hair.
It does say hair, and I guess that would include your pubes,
yeah,
right?
It would.
Like, you know, the skeletons with gigantic afro bush.
Yeah, what do you think Cousin It is?
Yeah, he's essentially just like, he was Lurch's pube.
And it broke off and became sentient.
Yeah, and got adopted by the family because they're not evil.
Right, no, they're good.
Where are they going to send it out into the streets?
They're the only pure thing in the world.
Doesn't have hands. You know? Like, I think that out of all of the Adams family, Cousin It of pubes is probably the least employable.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
No, he needs 24/7 care.
Yeah.
Like, so think of what would happen if we just walked into a candle.
Oh, yeah, yeah, exactly. It's like the yellow wallpaper. So, like, you know, he's just like, he's an addict stooge, you know? Gaslight Cousin It. Yeah.
Don't gaslight Cousin It.
Yeah. That's what he did, right? That was the noises he made.
Yeah, he's kind of like a little bit more garbly of a beaker, you know.
Yeah, garbly beaker made of pubes. Garbly beaker made of pubes. Pubes.
Oh fuck me, man.
When you participate in oral sex, like there is that there's even, it's so mainstream that there was like a Seinfeld about it. But like how you get the pube in the throat.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like throat pube is just like a thing. Uh-huh. I kept thinking about how like I feel like science should have solved that by now. There should be like a drink you should be able to take or something.
There should be like some kind of spray.
But for throat pubes.
Yeah, but like not for, you know, maybe you don't spray it on the hair. Maybe it's like a throat spray.
You spray it in your throat and it dissolves the pubes.
Yeah.
You know? And then if you don't want them, like if you're trying to go for a, you know, a quado look, you just kind of spray your front down with like pubinaca and, you know, TCB.
Yeah, no, it's a, you know, it's just the cost of doing business, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. When in Rome.
So. Oh man, yeah, I don't know. I don't know that I have an awful lot more to say about pubes.
I probably got about 15-20 minutes left.
Okay, cool.
Let's get into it. I generally, one of the reasons why I don't groom pubes is I think mm-hmm. they're hot. They look good.
Okay.
I think that the weird, like the way of making you shave your pubes mm-hmm. or as an aesthetic thing.
Yeah.
Like making yourself look younger in that respect isn't appealing to me. It's weird.
Right, right. Yeah, huh? I mean, like it can help. It provides definition.
Yeah. It's like a beard on a man.
Yes.
You know? It just looks good.
Yeah.
This looks correct.
And like, you know, like if you, in the literature that you see about this, or maybe it's not so much the literature, but like when it comes up in, God, I fucking can't believe we're talking about this. Like when it comes up in the media, it's like,
yes, and I was pretty much expecting you not to guess and that I got 15 more minutes, but I'm not going to back down from a challenge.
No. Well, it's just like people talk about like, oh, you know, it's like, oh, you got to, you want it to look bigger, shave it. But like, I don't know. I don't think that it's kind of like putting like racing stripes on a car to make it go faster. I think that it's less about like what tricking? It looks. What's that?
Like, and who are you tricking in that situation?
I mean, like, you might as well try and like do some like forced perspective. Like, like hi, I only make sure that I date stand. Her. I make sure that I date a person like standing on top of a model train down, so she thinks that I'm fucking gargantuan.
Which is, it's so like, you know, anybody who's seeing, the truth of the matter is anybody who sees my dick.
Uh huh.
Is getting to know my dick pretty well in a way that simple illusions and tricks are not going to work.
Right. I mean, like, the it's not like there's a view. It's not like a funeral where there are viewing hours. You know, like, the just like the parts of the dick that matter, you know, it's not necessarily the appearance, like the time between the first glance and then like sizing you up. And then like when you are going to be utilizing it, it's relatively short. And you know, I can't imagine the interaction.
It's relatively short, it's generally dark.
Yeah.
And by the time you get into like weird well lit sex or like sext or whatever, I feel like there's a trust barrier to where like if you're dating somebody and they're all of a sudden you're at that point, they're like, actually no, this ding dong is too small for me.
Yeah.
Like you probably wouldn't get to that point.
Right.
It's like a self-selecting group.
Yeah.
That's not even just to say that I've like literally never like, you know, I have had my share of sexual partners. I have never had a partner who cares about that at all.
Look like at me. I've got such a big dick. Nobody talks about it. My name's Gary Butterfield.
I don't have a big dick. I have an extremely regular dick.
Yeah.
You're regular at best.
Yeah.
But
I think back to like the like teenagerdom and just how much anxiety just unnecessary anxiety that I put myself through, like just wondering, am I good enough? Fuck that.
Totally.
Fuck forever.
That's what I'm trying. That's my point. That's what I'm trying to get across. Yeah. It's not that like, I'm just saying that like, it's something that you're trained to think that girls just care about. And there are girls who do, but in general, not really.
Well, yeah, it's like, just, you know, it strikes me as like weirdly misogynist of a thing to like ingrain into a young man's head that like, they only care about one thing. It's one of the ways that like patriarchy hurts us too.
Totally. It's a projection thing too, because like males are trained to have their sexuality be based on like stats.
Yes.
You know, like it's just like, tit size, you know, like size, shapes, measurements, you know, things like that. Like we're kind of trained and like, of course,
you need to quantify how viable I am. Yeah.
Of this thing that I need to live and also can be the source of like great pleasure and like closeness and love and romance and stuff.
Yeah. No, just, I need to make sure that just generally for my formative years, I am low level, never feeling good about it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had so much anxiety about that stuff.
Yeah.
It was such a big thing when I was younger.
Yeah.
You know,
Waka waka. It's such a big
thing. It keeps shrinking. But the other thing the science teacher told me is as you get older, your dick gets smaller and shrinks and gets straighter. And so you tell who's leaving their dick on the toilet. But yeah. Like the weird thing about like dicks and ding dongs is like most things that are about dicks and ding dongs, you know, I love it as a source of humor.
Right.
I love it as a source of beauty and like goodness. Mm-hmm. I hate it as any, and this just kind of speaks to my general conception of reality. I hate it as anything that is, can put anyone in competition.
Yeah.
You know, I just think that's just really dumb. I think that it can be extended to like real life philosophy.
Yeah.
You know, like most things are like that.
Yeah.
Like, does this make things happier and people happier and make things better? Cool. Let's go for it.
Yeah.
You know, does this make the people against each other and want, does this make one person better than another person? Mm-hmm. It's bad.
Yeah. You know? Just like, does this thing, this part of me that is really just just the output of a random genetic chance, like, does this enforce some kind of superfluous hierarchy on me and the world around me?
Socialized dicks. Nationalized
Like, democratize this dick, please.
Democratize this. Bam. Vote dick.
Tricky dick.
Dick pubes 2024.
Can't have the dick without the pubes unless you want to, then it's fine.
That's fine. And you can have the pubes on the dick, do whatever you want.
Whatever,
it's all fine, it's all good, it feels good, you know?
It has nothing to do with me. I could care less. Could not care less.
It's a it's interesting to think about. The the other thing about being a teen and having a lot of ding dong anxiety was I had a friend, the first guy I was in a band with, and he was apparently well endowed, and he was a couple years older than us.
Okay.
And talked about it all the time. It was such a dumb, shitty thing.
Yeah.
And it was so intentionally like, just like, oh, these, you know, these people are insecure. I understand that because I'm insecure.
Yeah.
How do I hurt them?
Yes.
Like, I remember the first time I met him, like, you know, we were in high school and his back, like, we were all basically pre-sexual.
Right.
You know, we didn't want to be, but just kind of were. Uh-huh. And he came in and he said, and I'm not joking, it sounds like a line for a movie. He's like, let me guess, nobody else got laid last night, right?
Jesus
Christ. I'm like, Jesus Christ, dude. Like, that fucking sucks.
Yeah.
Like, and now I just, you know, I think about, like, I just don't have to hang out with people like that.
No.
You know, at the time, it's such a weird time in your life where it's like, yeah, I guess I'll hang out with this dude. He seems cool. Ooh. Like, whatever that weird mix of, like, I hate this, he makes me feel bad about myself, but also there's something impressive about him.
Yeah, yeah.
All that is fake, and I'm really glad I don't engage with it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like people who suck and are bad and make me feel bad.
Right. I try not to be around them. I try not to be one. But it's like,
great. Like, you can just not do that.
Yeah. But, just like any of those, you know, middle school and high school things, you make friends the way that inmates make friends.
Yeah.
You know, it's just it's a function. It's a function of proximity. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. But, like, the shitty thing about that, you know, any of those anxieties or any of the, you know, just dealing with the person who walks in saying, let me guess, nobody else got laid last night. Like, all those anxieties, you know, those don't go away, really. Sometimes you continue maybe to feel them just like a little bit. It's still an echo of a thing. But, you know, just the person, you know, the person that you are now just grew around the person that you were. And, you know, like, that can still cause, you know, problems for you down the line. You know, no matter how much
complicated.
Yeah. No matter how much you intellectualize how ridiculous that is.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a thing where, like, you're never going to get to zero.
Right.
You know, inbox zero on anxieties about body stuff. But you can, there are definitely things things I could have heard when I was younger, or things I worried about that made no sense.
Right. Right.
And, you know, I wasn't doing it right.
Uh huh.
You know, either, like, I could have, like, worried about it less.
Yeah.
As well. So, you know, yes, it's always a thing. Even now, when I consider myself to be, like, a fairly actualized and comfortable person in my skin, like, every once in a while, I'll feel pretty shitty, you know, about things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mostly get over it, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Just weird. It crops up in places you don't expect. It's just mold. Mold that didn't have to be introduced into the culture.
I keep entering myself into underground dick measuring competitions, and that's one of the big problems.
Just picture you see from Fight Club. Yeah, they standing around.
They do them after Friday Night Magic. You just, like, sidle on up to the ruler and, like, you know, never goes great.
Yeah. Jesus. Oh man, for as much as, like, the concept of the, you know, people's conception of the show is that we only talk about dicks, we rarely ever do, and this feels fucking noteworthy that we're we're spouting Mr. Rogers lessons about, hey, maybe you shouldn't worry about this.
You know, honestly, like, I think that most of our dick content is extremely positive.
Yeah.
I think that, I don't know that necessarily our reputation for just making dick jokes is earned, because we do make dick jokes, but we also make dick points. Like, dick arguments.
Like, dick lessons.
You know, this is the, like, there's, like the cruising for limp, like, period, like the Flaccid Boys.
Yeah.
Period. That is a joke and was funny, but also totally true.
Yeah.
You know? I legitimately believe, like, oh yeah, genitals are awesome.
Yeah. No.
Like, they kick ass. They're all good. There are no bad genitals. Like,
right. Come as you are, you know?
Yeah. Come as you are. Come if, and, or not come if you don't want to.
C-U-M if you, as you are.
Yeah, come, not come, do whatever you want. Yeah,
fuck. Again, it has nothing to do with me.
Anywho, thank you for suggesting this, Sam Bear. Sam, and thanks everybody for listening. We appreciate you. Is this an exquisite suffering or regular suffering?
Just a regular.
Well, thank you for listening, and if you'd like to support us, please then head over to patreon.com/duckfeedtv.
yeah. And we really appreciate everybody who has done so.
Absolutely.
So until next time, mail some pubes to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Mombasa.
Mombasa.